The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
The Boston Red Sox drop a bullpen game catastrophe to the Cleveland Guardians by a score of 8-1, winning the series but failing to sweep and falling to 78 wins, 63 losses on the season. I'm Nick the Voice, joined by Jason Kelly and Chris Felico, and we are the Bastards of Boston. Want more? Go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com for great written articles. Now, I would like to start, strangely enough, this episode by talking about a player who didn't even play. How differently could this game have looked just from the outset if Kyle Harrison was sent out there instead of Jordan Hicks? Obviously, Bernardino didn't have the greatest opener. We talked a little bit last night about how he's been pretty good as an opener over the course of his career. This game, he didn't really have it. And then, strangely enough, with everyone we had to go to as an option, we went to Jordan Hicks, and just like that, the game seemed over.
I don't get it. So we saw some people in the comments last night saying that Harrison might be dealing with an ankle issue. None of that's been reported or confirmed yet, so I don't know if that was what was preventing him from being called up, but as soon as we saw this afternoon that it was going to be Bernardino and then Dustin May was supposedly going to get the bulk. That's what we thought. I thought, all right, I hate that, but it's at least, you know, it may not be the worst thing. Bernardino struggles out of the gate and you bring in Jordan Hicks. You bring in that guy, that flamethrower. Like, what are you doing? It just, everything from the lineup to that game plan suggested to me that Cora and this team had no problem punting this game away. And I don't know if it was just they thought that Harrison would be available. Last minute, he wasn't. And Cora just said, F it, you know, punt the game away. Who cares? But that's horrible. Like, that game plan made no sense. Zach Kelly pitched way more than we thought he would. And look, he was your best pitcher out there tonight, which I would not have expected. But the game was, look, Bernardino struggled, but it was still within reach. And you bring in Jordan Hicks, that's your next guy. It just, as soon as you bring that guy in, you know what's going to happen. So it was so disappointing. And like, we talked about how resilient this team is. This is a game where if you let them, they could have showed you like, hey, this Roman Anthony injury is not going to negatively impact us. We will still go out there. We can still win this game. We can still sweep this series against a lesser team and we'll still be okay. And I feel like Cora and the front office and management let the team down with their game plan tonight. It was horrid. There was no way you're going to win with that kind of game plan. So once again, the higher ups set the players up to fail. And that's super frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, When I saw it wasn't going to be Harrison, I knew we were kind of in trouble. And I think it actually has been officially reported at this point that it is an ankle injury. I would have rather had him out there on one leg than what we saw tonight. And I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth. I mean, Bernardino, he's been pretty good for us lately. Obviously, he got off to a little bit of a rough start. Nothing near Jordan Hicks. I mean, the Jordan Hicks experience at this point is just an absolute disaster. Every time you put the guy out there, he just absolutely gets pummeled, lit up, can't get out. This game was blacked out for me, even though I have the MLB Network package. I don't know why. Thank God, though, because if I had to watch this with my eyes, it might fall on my head. But listening to it wasn't much easier, because I was trying to track the game, and the next thing you know, in the blink of an eye, it's 5-0, 7-0. We don't even have, I think we had one out at that point. It took a miracle and a replay to even get the second out, never mind out of the inning. And, I mean, that game was over. I turned it off and just kind of periodically kept looking back to see, are they going to do something? But I hate to say it this way, Jason. I think that that moment you were looking for tonight, or that we were hoping for as a fan base, came last night. I think when Roman Anthony went out with the injury, you know, we were winning at that point, and then we relinquished the lead. It looked like, oh, boy. We're going to lose this game, and we didn't know officially, but we kind of had the suspicion we were going to lose Roman Anthony. And then, you know, Rafael hit the home run. They string a couple more runs, and they have taken that game. That might have been the moment of resiliency and the last moment of resiliency at this point, because I don't think the vibes are any lower. I don't think they've been lower this season. You know, we traded Devers. I don't even think it was that low. There was more shock and awe from the trade, but no one was really like, all right, season's over, because we really didn't know what we were in store for, because the season kind of seemed over at that point, even though we'd swept the Yankees. Now, I mean, I don't want to say the season's over, but this feels about as close to over as possible. It feels like when Tom Brady went down game one in the 2008 season. And I'm not even a Patriots fan. To be fair, I'm actually a Giants fan, but I can imagine that's how it felt for a Patriots fan, because I remember where I was when that happened. I said, oh, well, Pat, season's over.
Yeah, you know, I could speak as a Patriots fan. It almost does remind me of 2015, actually, where I think it was four back-to-back weeks. We lost, our four biggest weapons on offense. It was, Lewis, Edelman, Gronkowski, someone else. They all just went down in quick succession. And we made a deep playoff run, postseason run, rather, that year. But we just couldn't get over the Broncos. And like you said, you know, it's hard to not think of the what ifs. Oh man, what if we had those guys? What if we were completely healthy? That might be this year, unfortunately, for the Red Sox, with Dobbins down, many other starting pitchers, relief pitchers, all the injuries that we've weathered so far. Anthony really is the biggest gut punch, far more than even Meyer, where Meyer was up and he was a good player and I loved him on defense and I thought he had tons of potential. But when he went down, it was, you know, a kick to the nads, a bit of a downer, but it felt like we could weather that. Anthony is our offense. That dude has been everything for us. He came up and the whole season turned around in the right direction. Him going down is scary, especially because if it is a 4 to 6 week timeline, that means, will he be available for the playoffs? Even if he is, will he be in good shape? We don't know. The saddest thing, though, tonight is that we did not lose because Roman Anthony wasn't in the lineup. We didn't lose because Nate Eaton was batting leadoff and Nick Sogard was playing second base. Sogard actually responsible for the only RBI of the night for the Sox. This was just an absolute masterclass in what not to do from the Red Sox. As a pitching staff, as an offense, they were making errors. Duran looked good out in left field. He made a lot of acrobatic catches, but the errors are concerning. The pitching is disgusting. Runners in scoring position yet again. It is just maddening to watch. And that kid that we were talking about, that Joey Cantillo, this dude went out there and he just shoved against us. And I mean, all the props in the world to him. He's 25 years old. This is his second year. He's a swing man. He went out and he looked like, congratulations, kid. You've got a spot in the rotation. If he does tonight, what he did tonight, rather, versus other teams, that dude's a solid middle of the rotation starter at this point.
Yeah, you're right. Like, you know, bringing up the Meyer injury, it's a good point because when Meyer went down, yeah, it sucked. Like, nobody wanted to see that. But the year that Trevor Story is having, the bounce back year he's having, and the fact that you've got options at second base between Hamilton, Romy, you know, you've got guys that you can plug in there. You kind of went, yeah, okay, it sucks, but Meyer was inconsistent at the plate. He was, you know, still trying to find himself offensively, so no big deal, right? But then you know, Roman Anthony goes down, and he's been leading your team in so many offensive categories since he debuted. Like, he hasn't been up there that long. Like, it's not like he debuted in June. Like, he's been up here, you know, not that long, and he's already far exceeding some of your veteran players and some of your mainstays in the lineup. So for him to go down, it is a lot more impactful, but I was really looking forward to, again, that resilience, right? Okay, we lost Roman, and, you know, you hear the clips from the players last night, especially Bregman, saying, like, man, it was a gut punch to see him go down. Like, they knew that he was going to be out for a while, and I was looking forward to seeing this team come out, especially against, you know, and Cantil is a decent pitcher, but he's a guy who's been reliever, starter, like, you know, Cleveland's still kind of experimenting with him, and you've got your quote-unquote lefty killer lineup out there. They didn't kill the lefty tonight. The lefty killed them, and their bullpen and their pitching staff killed them. So, to me, that was a disappointing part. It's like, you have a big injury like that to a young kid that everyone recognizes how good he is and the talent that he is and how legit he is. Obviously, that's hard to get over, but we talked about it on the show last night. This team has depth, especially in the outfield. You know, Nate Eaton is not a bad depth outfielder. Like, he's a good guy to have. Willy Abreu will be back at some point. You know, it's not going well in terms of his rehab, but he will be back. You still got Yoshida there. Like, if he can start to string some hits together. And remember how I mentioned last night that if he can start to play every day, maybe he gets his swing back? Immediately, Cora benches him. Because, of course, there's a lefty on the mound. Can't play him against lefties. Like, so, but either way, like, this team has a depth in the outfield. You can survive Roman Anthony going down for a month. But you can't survive giving up 7 runs in an inning and a half to a bad offensive Guardians team. You cannot do it. And that's what did them in tonight. So that was the disappointing part. It's just, you had a chance to bounce back and kind of show that this isn't going to do us in. We can still go after the division. And you went the complete opposite direction. You got your asses kicked. And, you know, early in the night, Toronto was getting their asses kicked. You know what they did? They rallied. They rallied again. And part of that, Cincinnati's a pathetic team. But, like, they rallied again. They were down 5-6-0 in the first inning. They rallied, and I think they, I don't know if they officially won, but they're about to if they haven't officially. So they can rally. They can win. That's the team you're chasing. That's the example you have to look at. They went down early. They've had their own struggles this year. They can still rally. They still did it. Red Sox didn't do it tonight. And when you're in a tight wildcard race, tight division race, nights like these matter. So super frustrating for sure.
It's a lot to cover there. Well, I mean, when talking about the Blue Jays, the thing is they have the offense to rally on a night in and night out basis, even against good teams, let alone the Cincinnati Reds, because it seems like every night Toronto's down by crooked numbers, and in the blink of an eye, they have the lead. Like, today, they're in 5-0. I checked in the blink of an eye, it was 6-5. And it seems like they do that almost every night. You know, you had the aberration of the other day where they got walked off. Which was nice to see, but I wouldn't count on it on a regular basis, not with that offense, even though their pitching has been dreadful. I think with Meyer, it was not shocking. And I think the other part of it's not shocking is the fact that he's injury prone, right? So I don't think all of us were like, oh my God, Meyer. Like, we all were kind of thinking at some point this guy's going to get hurt. We don't know how bad, but it's realistic. And I think it's a great point, Jason. He was not tearing the cover off the ball with his bat. You know, he had moments and flashes, but he was not consistent. And I think we also, when it happened, it's the time of the year, part of the season. We knew Bregman was going to be coming back shortly at that point. So, like, there was a little bit of timing, momentum, and other things to kind of carry us through that moment. Roman Anthony and his offense being one of them. You know, what I do think is interesting is that when you look at the team and a lot of the quotes from the players, every single one of them, it was like gut-wrenching, gut punch. But there was not a lot of verbiage from the players where it's like, but you know, we're going to go out there and do this for Roman and we can't wait to have him back in the playoffs. The only person who had a quote similar to that or in essence of that was really Cora, where he basically was saying that what he's telling Roman Anthony is like, just picture that first at bat in the ALCS, because realistically, that's when where we would need to be if we're ever going to see Roman Anthony again this season is the ALCS. And I mean, it's great that Cora's saying that, but to be honest, he's the one challenged now with getting the players to believe it, because based on their words, I don't think any of them believe it. All of them believe that it's a gut punch, and they acted like it tonight with their performance that it's a gut punch. And, you know, it'd be great to see them come out here and do something, you know, the next week, especially going to that Yankee series, which is going to be huge now. I mean, I think we took a huge hit. I don't even know if we can count on a division at this point. I think it's now just like try and hope to God we can somehow string together some wins and stay in that fight for the first wild card, because the Yankees aren't going to lose. For all of a sudden, the tides have turned. They've figured out how to beat the Houston Astros. And I think they're going for 9 in a row in Houston, which I didn't even realize they were on that type of run against the Astros in Houston to this point. But I think, you know, the one thing I would say that I slightly disagree with you, Jason, is that, yeah, we could survive a month without Roman Anthony. The problem is we are literally in the last month of the season. And the pause for concern I have with that is, yeah, great. If we get to the playoffs and we win one series or two series and he comes back, yes, if he comes back and he's hitting the way he was when he got hurt, I agree, we would be able to survive that. But realistically, he's going to come back. He's going to have pain. He's not going to be the same. It's going to take him time. And we can't afford for that to happen in a playoff run. And it's not his fault, but it's just that's the realistic situation we're in. He's going to be cold, and we're going to have to deal with that, even if we do make it that far. And you know what? If we do make it that far, yeah, we can, because it means everyone else is firing on all cylinders. Do I have confidence in that? It's hard to, because even when we had Roman Anthony, he was the only consistent player on offense. If they turn it around, great, but they haven't given us much to really bet that that is going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair assessment, especially when it comes to just reading the room, I guess. We saw the interviews last night, and I couldn't even watch all of the player interviews because it really did feel like a death in the family. I mean, that it was the tone. And you're right that, you know, the players aren't out there, at least in the immediate onset of it, going, rah, rah, let's do this for him. It really does feel like the air went out of their sails. And I mean, these are professional athletes and grown men, and hopefully they can all rally and say, you know what, let's do this. Especially, I think, once Roman, I'm not sure if he was there in the dugout tonight or not. I didn't see him. But, you know, once he gets back into the clubhouse, hangs around sort of like Meyer has been, maybe that will be, you know, a bit of an injection for them. But it's a real shame, because earlier in the season, I believe it was when Willie Abreu first got hurt, that is what opened the door for Roman Anthony to actually come into the majors. And he should have been up probably sooner than that. It is a shame, because now with his injury, in theory, the door could have been opened for a guy like the password, Yastinson. But he looks like he still needs some time to cook. He's young, you know, he isn't quite there yet. The same can be said for Christian Campbell, who has been putting up decent numbers in AAA, but if you look under the surface, if you look at a lot of the metrics and whatnot, he's not looking like that great of a hitter down in, I mean, he walks a lot, which is great, but the quality of contact just isn't where you want it to be necessarily. That being said, maybe we do take a flyer on him. I mean, he can play left field. That would certainly help us. He could play second base. That would certainly help us. But would the bat help us? Maybe relative to Sogard or Eaton or Hamilton or Ali Sanchez or anyone else you want to mention. But I think you guys are right when you say that in order for this team to keep winning games, keep winning series, and go into a deep playoff run at this point, and it's, you know, it's stating the obvious, but it's very true, we need the rest of this offense to just start clicking in a way that unfortunately they have rarely clicked so far this season.
Yeah, and I think what you saw with Sogard getting the call, a lot of people are calling for Campbell to get the call, like you mentioned, even the password. I think Cora is kind of playing it safe. Again, the Red Sox are in a playoff position right now. So, you know, it's not the best position you could ask for, but they are in it. Like, they're not, it's not like the Giants that are five games out of the wild card where, you know, you've got to really put your, you know, pedal to the metal and really go for it. Red Sox are secure. As long as they don't completely fall apart here, they will be in the playoffs in some capacity. So I think Cora is doing what he usually does, where he's leaning on the guys that he trusts, guys like Nick Sogard, guys like Zach Kelly, even. Like, I think he's going more for that route rather than let me call up Christian Campbell. And yeah, because like that'll be the big buzz. The fans will be happy about it. But is Campbell really ready to come back up to the majors, especially in the middle of a playoff push where every at bat, every pitch matters? Like, I think the organization is terrified of putting him in that spot. And you know, Kyle Harrison, he's got an ankle thing, so they're being very cautious with him, which is fine. That's okay. It kind of sucks for tonight because you got what you get. But I think Cora is kind of just playing it a little bit safe. Like, look, we're in a good position. Abreu's going to be back at some point. You know, Roman's going to be out for the rest of the month, you know, maybe into October. That's okay. We have the depth. Let's just hold our water and let's not, you know, I don't think he wants to bring up a guy like Campbell who might go 0-16 with seven strikeouts if he's not ready. I think he'd rather bring up a guy like Sogard who, you know, not a great bat, but is a tremendous defender and might even save you some runs just with his defense alone. So I'm okay with that. You know, again, it's early September. You got a month left of baseball. You don't have that brutal of a schedule ahead of you. You really don't. So if the Red Sox can just hold their water and kind of get through this storm of injuries that they got right now, then they should be okay. Even if you end up just with the first wild card, you're still hosting three games at Fenway Park against a lesser wild card team. I'll take the Red Sox in that scenario any day. So I think that's what he's going for.
Yeah, I understand why he went the Sogard route, and it makes sense for all the reasons that you said, because I think the last thing you want is a young kid that's already come up and failed, coming up into a playoff run where you know he's going to be pressing. Because let's face it, Sogard knows he's not an MLB talent. Like, he's not an everyday player. He knows his plays. So if he sucks with his bat, he's going to, not that he's going to be content, he'll figure out a way to still, you know, contribute and not press and ruin or tank a game. Whereas Campbell, it could get to his head. Now all of a sudden he starts, you know, carries over into the field, which we saw earlier in the year, even when he was hitting. And then when he wasn't hitting, it got exponentially worse, his defense, because it really started to carry over into his head. You know, I think the thing that, you know, pisses me off the most about that, though, is, you know, they're playing it safe, but they're also the same organization that literally rushed that kid out of nowhere to where I didn't even know his name, and now all of a sudden he's our second best prospect over Mayer, you know, only behind Anthony. And he was the only one who made the opening day roster. So, you know, with the organization that, you know, rolls the dice, but then now wants to play it safe. And there's like, a, you know, if I'm looking at the angel and the devil on my shoulder, there's the devil on my shoulder that's saying like, well, play him, because guess what? If he can't handle it now, why the hell do you even want him? If he can't get it done in the middle of a playoff run where you have the lead and it's just hold the lead, like where is he going to fit in the next 3 or 5 years? Maybe he comes up, he fails. If he can't handle it, cut bait, trade him. Someone will take him in the offseason. You won't get as much as you could have. But I understand why the, you know, organization is doing what it is. Listen, I think it's going to be an interesting time here because for a bit now, we have not really been on Cora's back. It's been a while since Red Sox fans have really been on his back. But this, I don't want to say he can get ugly, but he's going to get tested again like he's been the last couple of years where all of a sudden, you know, you got some talent. And I'm not saying this isn't a talented roster, but by far as everyday players, our most talented player is down. And he's not coming back unless we're 4 games away from a World Series. So Cora is going to be challenged with having to string together some magic here and put together lineups that are going to have to make it work. And I got to be honest, like, that's not his strong suit. You know, he sometimes I don't want to play the young guys. He has favorites that he likes to go with, you know, like the David Hamiltons of the world on this team. And he puts together odd lineups. You know, he tries to favor lefty-righty matchups, doesn't go with his gut or like a normal manager would 5-10 years ago. And, you know, if he makes it work, great. But if he doesn't, you know, the seat's going to get hot again very quickly for him. And it should.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'll say about Cora, I'll give him a positive pat on the head tonight. I'll give him, you know, a little bit of kudos. I thought the Nathaniel Lowe pinch hit was very funny. Just because, I mean, I think we were down 7-1 at the time. We had a guy on base, and we're like, Eaton's up, screw it, just send Lowe out there. And I was like, you know, it would be easy to not do that, say, whatever. So, listen, even if Lowe goes up and hits a home run, I mean, we still get blown out this game, almost certainly. But I did think that that was a humorous choice, but not a silly choice. I think it was the correct call, right? What I don't think was the correct call, and we're talking about how this organization treats its young players. Last night, when we thought that Harrison was going to be available, we were toying around the idea of a six-man rotation. We saw some comments in the stream saying the same thing. I saw some comments on social media saying the same thing. A six-man rotation would give Toley an extra day of rest like he's accustomed to. It would give Crochet maybe another day off, you know, help him keep himself up. And the only downside would be, you know, you keep Dustin May in the rotation. Somehow tonight, we found a way to do something even worse than that, which was Harrison is a no-go. I don't know how the MRI went, if he had it yet. I know he was supposed to undergo it yesterday, probably got a negative result back, or maybe he's just sore if he didn't go through it. But listen, May was on 3 days rest, so he couldn't go out there and pitch a full six innings even if he, you know, wanted to. Why not try to push Toley a little bit? Why not send him out there even for four innings and see how he feels, you know, see how he does? It was just so strange to go from Bernardino to Hicks when Bernardino seemed to be the plan for Harrison. And when Harrison was a no-go, we sort of stuck with that plan. And I mean, Bernie just pitched last night. We don't know how he was feeling today. Hicks is a walking white flag. The guy is terrible. His ERA is ever inflating. He's a project. He's the definition of a project at this point. And when he's a project pitcher, it's like the equivalent of buying a house that's like littered with black mold. And so you have to tear down everything and just essentially rebuild it, use the foundation, right? Kudos to Zach Kelly and Dustin May for coming out and doing what they did. I sort of wish that they could have done that at the start of the game rather than at the end of it when it was out of reach. You know, Zach Kelly pitched four innings, four strikeouts, only two hits, no runs allowed. Dustin May got bailed out on defense. He didn't look good at all, but at least he ate innings. I mean, Hicks was atrocious. Mats didn't look sharp. Bernie didn't look sharp. And it's just strange to put your worst foot forward in a game like this. That really does read like a scheduled loss.
Yeah, and I wonder, like, okay, if Bernardino was the scheduled opener, right? Did they like him being the lefty because of that part of the Cleveland lineup? Okay, where was Justin Wilson? Yeah, he hasn't pitched in quite a while. Could he not have been your opener instead of Bernardino, who pitched literally last night? I know that he didn't have, you know, a big workload last night, but that's two nights in a row for a guy that we've been saying all year, his arm's going to fall off if Cora keeps doing this. Like, he was one of his most used pitchers in the first half of the season. So, yeah, I feel like that was a good second guess. And then you mentioned Zach Kelly. Why not just have him open? Because he was probably the freshest of them all. So, and he put in the best performance. Now, not to say that he would have replicated that if he, you know, started the whole game, but who knows? Like, if he gave you four scoreless to start the game, we may have a whole different outcome here. So, yeah, it just felt like they were leaning on, okay, it's going to be Harrison, it's going to be Harrison. Oh, he's got an ankle thing. Oh, he's got to get an MRI. Oh, okay, now we got to pivot. I'll just have Bernardino open and I'll figure it out. I don't know. I'll just, you know, I'll just play it by ear. I'll just, you know, fly off the seat of my pants. You know, like, it just felt like a Cora, like, you know what? We've got, you know, we got the off day. We're traveling. Eh, who cares? I'll figure it out. It's Cleveland. I'm not worried. And then they just get toasted. And he's sitting there like a deer in the headlights going, oh, okay, that didn't work. I don't know. What do you want from me? And he'll do the classic Cora press conference where he'll go, you know, well, we've had some injuries, right? And, you know, well, you know, it's the roster we're given, right? And, you know, tough games and, you know, just got to get back there tomorrow. Like, no, dude, like, you had a chance. And granted, I know Toronto came back, as I said earlier, but you had a chance to gain some ground and just solidify your position against a lesser team. That's the thing. Like, you're facing lesser teams than you right now. Don't just punt away games because things get a little bit complicated. Like, this roster, this team is still good enough that you should be able to win a game like this. And I felt like Cora just pissed it away. I hated the structure of the pitchers that he was bringing in. It just felt like he didn't have the answers. He didn't get Harrison like he wanted. So he's like, well, okay, now I'm just going to throw spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. And nothing stuck. He got crushed. So don't pull that crap against, like, Oakland and, you know, some of these other lesser opponents you're going to be facing here going forward, because those are games that you should bank in your win column to help you either solidify the wild card or get closer to the division. Like, don't punt games in September. That's so annoying.
Well, you know what? To be fair, there is no such thing as a lesser opponent with the Sox, because I hate to say it, there's many times they play down to their opponent and they play up to their opponents, right? So there's no team that much better, and there's not teams much worse. You know, I wrote an article about the fact that, like, 2025, and that's before Roman Anthony, maybe a season that gets remembered based off missed opportunities. And that's because of series like this one, where it should be a sweep, whether you have Roman Anthony or not. And we let a team that's absolute garbage off the hook, and they come in and blow the doors off of us in the third game. And that's kind of been the MO for this team. Yeah, they've got some sweeps in the middle there, but then they'll sweep Baltimore only to let the next team take two of three. They'll almost sweep the Yankees and then get swept by Baltimore at home. So it's, you know, it's kind of the seesaw all season with this team. And, you know, I talked about the fact that this organization, right, like, you know, they talk out of both sides of their mouth the way that they act, but like Christian Campbell, oh, we got to play it safe after we rush them. Alex Cora has done the same thing with our pitching staff. Like, got to be precautious. You know, I'm not going to put Aroldis Chapman in a game that we absolutely freaking need in the middle of a playoff run because he pitched yesterday. But I'm going to have Brandon Bernardino start a game even though he pitched yesterday. Like, make up your mind, Alex. It makes no sense. The best pitcher in baseball that is not a starter is Aroldis Chapman. You won't put him in, but you'll have Brandon Bernardino, who's having an okay season, come in after he just pitched last night. I mean, talk about short rest. Yeah, that's a bright move. I mean, we would have been better off starting Dustin May, because if you look at between Dustin May, Zach Kelly, and Mats, I think they went 8 of the 9 innings, because I think Bernardino only went 2/3 and Hicks only went 1/3. Yeah, so they went 8 innings and I think, what, gave up 2 runs? Now, I'm not saying it would have been the exact same had they started the game, but it would have been a hell of a lot better chance than what we saw tonight. But again, it's just the mismanagement of this pitching staff. And that is something that has not just been this season. That's been something that's kind of been season to season with Alex Cora. Giving guys days off when it doesn't make sense to. Weird lineups. This guy can't pitch because he pitched yesterday. Unless he's this guy and it feels good today. You know, I would rather just put your best foot forward. Put your best players out there and see what happens. But this crap where we pick and choose when we're going to do things and it makes absolutely no sense and it costs us games and then we just absolutely fold like a deck of cards in the middle of a playoff run, it's unacceptable at this point. And again, I'm not trying to call out here with pitchforks over Cora, but I think he deserves a little bit of blame here and he needs to feel a little bit of heat.
Yeah, it's just baffling. I mean, and a lot of people in the stream were saying the same thing, which is that if this was a scheduled loss, if this was a punt, then give a couple guys days off. You know, Bregman certainly looks like he could use it. Thank goodness we have one tomorrow, where I think everyone could sort of use a reset right now. It's really a shame because we were able to come back from that Pittsburgh series defeat and get a series victory over the Guardians. But at the same time, going 3-3 against those two teams, it doesn't feel very good. Going up against Arizona, and I nearly just called them Oakland again, against Sacramento, against the A's, I hate it. I hate it so much. But going up against the Athletics and the Diamondbacks, in theory, this should be a successful road trip. In theory, these should be some, not free W's, but good W's, good opportunities that we can get. We have a strong rotation, good matchups going into it, which we'll get into later. But the Red Sox seem to just find ways to lose. And at the end of the day, as much as I think it's right to criticize Cora for, you know, his handling of the structure of this game, what the heck was the offense doing? I mean, we went out there, we got completely shown up. Again, 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. We had 7 hits on the night, 2 walks. You should have done more with that. And it's just very frustrating because guys like Duran, he's been hitting the ball very well lately. Thank goodness. Seti's been coming around a little bit, but overall, I mean, the story continues to do well. But overall, I mean, the top of this lineup going forward, we need Bregman to get back to where he was, which I have faith he will. And we need to figure out the leadoff spot because I don't like the Eaton strategy. I don't like going out there and saying, oh, well, we have a guy with speed. That's a 1970s approach. You know, I want a guy who gets on base. At this point, maybe Duran deserves the leadoff spot back. Maybe he's just the best option. I'm not sure.
I'm glad you brought up Bregman because he is going to be so key going forward. He's been in a massive slump lately and nobody wants to talk about it because, you know, he's had such a great year despite the injury and we all want him back. But, you know, this is a guy that we were talking about around the trade deadline being like, man, hope he doesn't, you know, opt out that contract because he's been so good and, you know, he has such a strong first half. Well, down the stretch here, when you've got guys dropping like flies and you need offense, he hasn't been providing it. I can't remember it, and maybe, you know, maybe it was more recent than I thought. I can't remember the last time he hit a home run. When was Alex Bregman's last home run? Like, it feels like it's been at least a week, maybe more. I don't know. But it feels like that maybe that quad is biting at him again because he doesn't look great running. He doesn't look very comfortable, you know, in the field at times. Like, and look, he came back as soon as he could, but an injury like that, it can bother you again. You know, even weeks, months later, it can creep up again where you're going, oof, you know, I feel it tugging at me. So it's going to be important to get him his rest. I will say, like, I know people are saying, why not just rest him tonight? To be fair, Cora did DH him. So he didn't have him play the field. He DH'd him with a day off tomorrow. They got a long flight out to the West Coast tomorrow. So I don't mind that. Like, you don't want to completely sacrifice your offense because if you took Bregman out, looking at the rest of that lineup, that would really be a punt. I would have gone in being like, I'm not even watching at this point. Like, that would have been a joke of a lineup if Bregman wasn't in there at DH. So as much as I want Yoshida getting at bats, if it was Yoshida in there instead of Bregman tonight, I'm not sure I would have even tuned in because that was a horrible lineup. So I think Cora's doing his best in terms of trying to manage guys like that who need a little bit of rest. You know, Duran and Sadon are streaky hitters to begin with. He's dealing with the Abreu situation. It's just hard. Like, we've talked about it all year. This offense is very inconsistent. And at times, you know, they look great. The game, you know, 2 nights ago where they rally, you know, they're down and they keep rallying and, you know, they kind of put Cleveland to bed. They have the ability to do that. But then they have nights like tonight where some guys need some rest and, you know, it's a different lineup and they look putrid. They look, you know, just absolutely like a 4A team. So it's going to be tough, but you've got such an opportunity here with this West Coast trip. Arizona and the Athletics, they both sold at the deadline. They're not good teams. You should win at least 4 games on this trip. If you don't win at least 4, something is very, very wrong. If they go even 3-3, or if they go even worse than that, 2-4, then, man, something's really off. So they still have a chance to really make up some ground, really solidify their playoff spot. Again, even if it's just a wild card, fine. Take that first wild card spot. Have those games at home. You're a good home team. That's not the worst case scenario. So they should absolutely be seizing on that, because the schedule when they get back, it's not terrible, but it's not easy. New York, Athletics, Tampa, Toronto, Detroit. 3 out of 4 of those teams are playoff teams. So make up the ground this weekend. Don't mess around. Get those wins and then survive the storm the last couple weeks, because you got to hang on to your playoff position right now.
Yeah, I mean, the offense has been wildly inconsistent all season long. You know, they were able to withstand the fact that they lost their best hitter when they lost Devers at that time, especially with Bregman going down. But then Roman Anthony, that's essentially created the ascension of Roman Anthony to this point. I'm glad that you brought up Jason Bregman, because Bregman, you can make the argument that Bregman, Rafael, and Narvaez have been absolutely colder than a freezer at this point. Bregman still makes the flashy plays defensively, right? So I think like he gets a little bit of slack, and you know, here, and we've been winning. Otherwise, I think everyone would be talking about it. But he's still doing something with his glove. Rafael has always done something with his glove, and your point, he's very streaky. And the difference between him and Bregman is he still has, over the last couple, even like the last month and a half, come up with those clutch home runs every so often that saves games. So it's like, all right, can't get on him. And then Narvaez, defensively, he's kind of slipped second half of the season, but he's got a lot of miles, I'm sure, on those knees, especially since Wong was doing absolutely nothing the first half. So he was getting a little bit of a pass. But now none of them are going to get a pass, because we can't afford for any of them, let alone all three of them, to be swinging the bat the way that they're doing. They really have to just, I mean, buckle down and figure it out, especially Bregman, because, you know, the only upside I could potentially say is the fact that he's actually getting himself to position. He's not going to opt out, because no one is going to want him if he continues to perform like this, especially when we're in a playoff position. And depending on how our season ends, like if he ends cold and he comes up and he's just striking out, and he's not driving in runs, I wouldn't want him. I mean, the Red Sox might not even want him at that point. But, you know, Rafael, that's always kind of been who he is. So I'm not overly concerned there. But we really, I mean, Narvaez, we were all talking about the fact that, like, this guy could have been, like, diamond in the rough, really made us feel better about Kyle Teal, ended up in that crochet deal. And, I mean, let's face it, if he doesn't become more consistent, at some point, he might not be the long-term quote-unquote answer catcher. And then that trade with Kyle Teal, in which a lot of us, and I said it from day one, I wished it was Mayer at that time, only because of the fear of Mayer getting hurt, and now we are living it, is going to sting a lot more if Narvaez doesn't help make us forget.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the fact that we are currently carrying three catchers, I think that says a lot right now about the depth of our team and where we stand. I hope that that's a sign that Narvaez is still nursing some discomfort. I would have to imagine that is the case. He's been hitting okay lately. Same with Connor Wong, funnily enough, who's having a pretty good week. Definitely when you're batting, what, 150, there's really only one direction to go when you're a major league player, which Connor Wong, to his credit, is. You know, maybe not a top 30 catcher, maybe not a guaranteed starter, but certainly deserves a roster spot on some team. It's just tough, you know. And what you said, Jason, is right about how, like, if we did sit Bregman, this would have been the definition of a scheduled loss. And the sad thing is that me calling this a scheduled loss is somewhat tongue-in-cheek, because there's very few things as a scheduled loss. Very rarely does a team truly punt. And the sad reality of this game is that I genuinely do believe that we went into this thinking, all right, let's give ourselves a chance. Let's try to win this. And the outcome was, you know, finishing not even two full innings, 1.5 innings, down 7-0, you know? And that was a pit we unfortunately just couldn't recover from. It could have been worse if Duran wasn't making those plays out in left field for Dustin May, certainly. I don't know what we're going to do with that guy. I'm still curious why we made that trade to begin with. The deadline acquisitions have been overall a bust. I mean, sending Tibbs for May, essentially saying that May and Hicks are our return for Devers until Harrison is unveiled. Fortunately, Harrison is young, but you know, that sore ankle definitely is a big downer so far on this season. What could have been a very heroic tale in his story, a chapter in his book, ends up being a big wet fart, which the Sox have been doing a lot of this year. You know, the record is still good. The standings are still good. But with Abreu's injury seemingly being worse than expected, I don't believe he's yet to resume running. I know we said that last night. I don't think there's any change in that today. And now with Anthony going out, with the password not being ready, with Campbell likely not being ready, it really does seem like if this team is going to make a deep run, you need heroes. You need some guys to go on an absolute tear. And hopefully in like 10 years, playing barroom trivia, we'll be talking about, God, you remember when Nate Eaton hit that inside the park home run versus the Astros in the ALCS? I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but we need that, you know, unfortunately. It puts these guys in a bad position. It's not exactly fair to Eaton or Sogard to have the burden put on them. But in addition to our everyday guys, our starters, our main dudes, the heart of the order, we need the fringe to come forward and put up some good at-bats and some good games.
Yeah, I think this is another one where you can go back to the trade deadline. I know fans get exhausted doing that, but sorry, you have to, because your trade deadline was Dustin May and Steven Matz. And then before that, it was Jordan Hicks and Kyle Harrison. And Jordan Hicks is useless. You can't get rid of him because he's got a stupid contract where he's earning $12 million for the next 2 years. So you're stuck with that. The only good thing about May and Matz is that, honestly, that they're free agents. At the end of the year, you don't have to hang on to them. Like, bye-bye, see you later. But, like, I was just looking. I think they showed at some point during the game tonight, there was a graphic where there were a bunch of guys that went on waivers the last week that found new homes, like Carlos Santana going to the Cubs. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, I think he went to Texas. I can't quite remember. But, like, the Red Sox should be in on guys like that. Guys who are just on the waiver wire. Like, Kiner-Falefa, I'm sorry. I love Nick Sogard, too. He would have been an upgrade over Nick Sogard. He is. He's a better hitter. He's just as versatile defensively. Like, that's a guy that can help you. Carlos Santana is a guy that can help you. Now, you know, you can make the debate, do you want Santana or Nathaniel Lowe? I'll probably take Nathaniel Lowe, but Santana's a switch hitter. He's a veteran, has played in a lot of playoff games. Nathaniel Lowe, you know, left-hander, has also played in playoff games. So that might be a wash, but there are other moves they could have made, and I just felt like they had such a lame deadline, and Breslow was just like, yeah, we're good. That'll be okay. That's all we need. You know, a broken Dodgers pitcher and a 35-year-old left-handed reliever that nobody else wanted. Like, it's just not good enough. And this is the kind of game where you see it. Dustin May was terrible. Steven Matz was terrible. It's a game where if you had an extra guy, you mentioned the six-man rotation. And I got to take a mea culpa on that one, because last night you asked me, do I want a six-man rotation? I said no. I was like, nope, don't do it. I want these guys rested. Now looking at it, I wouldn't mind a sixth starter, like a dependable sixth starter, not Dustin May, but just someone who can give you five innings of just, you know, not trash baseball so that Garrett Crochet can get some rest. Tolley can get some rest. Even Bayo and Giolito, like these guys are all exceeding innings limits that they haven't reached before. So, yeah, that would have been great. But Breslow decided to mostly sit on his hands at the deadline. And look, I still think this team makes the playoffs, but if they don't make it beyond the wild card round, and it's a lot of games like this where the pitching falters or the bullpen falters and they just don't get enough to get over a team that we think they should beat, then it's going to fall right back on him. That's where you go back to Breslow and say, you had a chance. The team was good enough. You could have added, and you balked, and you didn't do enough. So how can we trust you in the winter to do the right thing again? How can we trust you next summer if this team is once again in a playoff position or at least contending? How can we trust you to add because you balked again? Like, you know, it might just be Kyan Bloom all over again, unfortunately, which I hope it's not. But if they, again, if they don't make it past the wildcard round and they, you know, get beat like this, you can definitely look back on Breslow.
Yeah, I hate to say it. It's looking more and more like his ineptitude at the trade deadline could prove very costly to this season. I mean, let's face it. You want to know how it went for the Red Sox at the trade deadline? The most interesting player we got at the trade deadline was traded for Dustin May. Tibbs was the only one where I was like, all right, that might be something down the road. Harrison, maybe, but like Tibbs was the one I was excited about. And we gave him up for Dustin May, who's done nothing. Steven Matz has looked like a shell of himself since he's been on the Red Sox. He hasn't been horrible, but like, he's good to give up at least a home run, it seems like, in any time he's in for more than an inning. And you know what? Here's a name that we haven't talked about, and I don't know what the, like, is he in witness protection? Cooper Criswell. Guy came up and was absolutely phenomenal for us the one time we called him up. We're talking about doing six-man, seven-man rotations. Put him in. Like, I don't even know why that's not on the table.
So I think Criswell has like a lat strain he's been dealing with. Not like on an IL or anything, but yeah, I don't think he's fully healthy. So because that's who I would have called up too, but I think he's got a lat thing going
on. No, you're right. I'm actually looking right now. He's on the injured 7-day. But you know what? We've been going through this for more than 7 days, to be fair. But I appreciate you correcting me, Jason. But you know, when he comes off, you know what the truth is? I don't even think we would call him up. I have no confidence that would even cross someone's mind in this organization. Like, huh? Let's see, should we bring up the guy who basically shut out a team for us on a day's notice? No, let's let him cook in AAA. I mean, right now, I hate to say it, there's days on the Red Sox looking at their starting pitching and even the lineup we're fielding sometimes. It's like, we're not a AAA team, but like, we're a 4A team if it existed. That's how it feels. Something's got to give. So, you know, both of you said it. Yeah, the Sox need some unsung hero you need the Steve Pierce moment. Someone who's going to come out of nowhere and be your World Series hero, be JBJ in ALCF. I don't expect it, but we surely need it.
Yeah. I think, as everyone knows, you know, I'm a Cooper Criswell truther. It is a shame because, I mean, it's like everyone I want gets injured. At the trade deadline, it was Bubich. And then, you know, it was me saying, oh, get Buehler out of here. Get Buehler out of here. Bring up Criswell. And Criswell, of course, gets hurt. I mean, Criswell's a guy who, you look at his career splits, he's got a 3.54 ERA in the starting rotation, only in 21 starts. But to me, that screams, give the guy a chance. You know, the idea of a six-man rotation with a healthy Criswell, a healthy Harrison, and a guy like Tolley, I mean, that would certainly solve our problems, right? But unfortunately, that seems to be the nature of the game this year for us. And it is every year, really. But injuries just seem to come at the worst time to the worst people, you know, and we've certainly seen that quite often. I agree with what you said, Jason, about maybe hunting on the waiver wire. I wonder why the Sox aren't a little more active on that. You have to wonder, is it just a money thing? Could a few $100,000 or maybe a million, wouldn't even really be a million for a lot of these guys. You know, my mind goes back to 2021 with Jose Iglesias, who was coming off a miserable season with the LA Angels, and we took a flyer on him late in the year, so late in the year that he wasn't even playoff eligible. And it's a damn shame that he wasn't, because he ended up coming to the Sox and helping us actually reach the playoffs that year. I can't help but wonder, what would that ALCS have looked like in 2021 if we had a guy like Iglesias, as silly as that is? In 23 games that year, he had a 144 OPS plus. You never know what you're going to get. It's hard for bad players to have good seasons. It's not that hard for a bad player to have a good month. And at this point, I would take that.
who would you rather have had pitching tonight? The combination of Bernardino, Jordan Hicks, Dustin May, Zach Kelly, or Andrew Heaney, who was also on waivers this past week, who you could have had. Again, didn't have a great year, but you put it perfectly, Nick. Bad players can have a good month, especially with a change of scenery in a playoff race. And for a guy like Heaney, who is a veteran, who's looking for a new contract, if he pitched his ass off for the Red Sox, even as a sixth starter, like you mentioned, like stretch out the rotation, he would have earned a contract. Absolutely. So I look at that as like Andrew Heaney was on the waiver wire. He was out there. You could have had him. Didn't want him. Nope. Instead, let's go with Jordan Hicks for a third of an inning for four earned runs to just completely bury your team for no reason whatsoever. Like, it's just, they should have been more active. And that's, again, that might be inexperience on Breslow's part. Again, he's not done this before. So he might be looking at these guys going, well, okay, like, yeah, but then I got to take someone off the 40-man roster, and I'm not comfortable doing that. Like, is Isaiah Campbell still on the 40-man roster? Because I would send him to Mars, like, today for Andrew Heaney. So, again, I think that's where Breslow's inexperience, like, cost him. You could have had some of these guys. They could have helped you win games. Instead, once again, just like he did at the trade deadline, he's sat on his hands.
Well, when you mentioned that combo, I would have taken Nick the Voice, Jason Kelly, and Chris Lico compared to what you just said with zero MLB experience between the three of us. But, you know, I think the reason why they didn't, I don't necessarily know why with pitching. That I don't necessarily even have a thought as to why you wouldn't attempt that. So it's a good point, Jason. And I was thinking the same exact thing, Nick, as far as with, you know, I was talking, I might have been Terry the other day I was talking to after one of our shows, and we talked about Jose Iglesias, and I remember like the impact he had and how disappointed I was when I realized that he would not be able to play for us in the playoffs, because I couldn't agree more. The way he was playing at the end of that season into that playoff run, if we would have had him in the playoffs, maybe we get past the Astros. I don't know. The Astros were a good team, but like we were pretty damn good. Now, you know, a strike three call with Nate Eovaldi away from possibly being up 3-1 in that series, but I'm not going to rehash that. I think to answer your question as to why they may not is the difference between this team in 2021. We didn't have, even though that team was better, the backline depth, if any of those guys went down, was not, there wasn't much to be desired back then. And Cora was also still relatively new to coming back to us after leaving at the MLB when he basically got thrown out for that year, right? So I think now there's so many guys in the depth that we may not look at and go, oh my God, I have to have this guy. But we have the David Hamiltons, the Nate Eatons. We have all these Cora guys that he is absolutely in love with that I think, like, we wouldn't even have Lowe if we had someone else that Cora loved that could play first base. Like, let's face it. Thank God we have him, because I actually happen to like Lowe and I've liked what he's done so far. I know that not everyone's, you know, enthused with him, but I thought he's a great pickup and he is playoff eligible because of when we got him. But I think the fact that these guys, because a lot of the guys that Jason was talking about would not be playoff eligible, and there are positions that would basically have to remove the Cora guys, whether you send them down or, you know, just basically, you know, DFA them at that point. But I agree with you. Like, we still have guys in this roster that you didn't have to move the Cora guys. You could get rid of Isaiah Campbell, send him to whatever planet you want to, and fill a position with someone that's going to help us win games, even if it's just the regular season. Because the truth is, those wins may be the difference between wild card one or wild card two. And I hate to say it, if things really spiral, maybe the difference between making the playoffs, not making the playoffs. I've seen teams blow bigger leads in shorter amount of time than the amount of time we have left to play baseball in this regular season with a 5.5 game lead.
Most definitely. You know, I really like the name that you threw out there, Jason, of Andrew Heaney. And I think that would have been a really good call because, as Cal just said in the YouTube chat, the Dodgers picked him up off of waivers. And as insult to injury here, not only did he rejoin the Dodgers on a minor league deal, he did so in time to be playoff eligible. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? We take Dustin May from the Dodgers. They get Andrew Heaney. If that dude shows up, even for one inning in the playoffs and does well, I'm going to scream. It does seem sometimes that teams like the Dodgers, they play four-dimensional chess while other teams are playing checkers. And I mean, at this point, that could be a prime example of it. Even if Heaney doesn't turn into anything, they gave themselves an option. And unfortunately, that's an option that the Sox don't have now. Maybe something else will pop up. Maybe there's another waiver wire acquisition to be had. Maybe Jordan Hicks and Dustin May figure it all out. Maybe Kyle Harrison, hopefully, is ready for a spot start next time around in the rotation. But for right now, it's just frustrating. So what do you say we look at the probable matchups here? We have Thursday off. Thank goodness. I think that this will be a much needed break for the guys, as we discussed before. And it is a West Coast trip, but we're starting a little bit softer. Rather than going all the way to California, we are making a pit stop in Arizona. It's so funny because before this, I was saying to Chris, I was trying to pull up the Diamondbacks on Baseball Savant, and I'm like, why doesn't this team exist? Diamond, nothing comes up. Diamondbacks, I'm like, am I spelling them wrong? It's D-backs on Savant you have to search, which is so silly. I think they're the only team that has a nickname in that format, and it's probably just due to like a character limit. So we kick off the season on Friday at a 9:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time start. That will be Peyton Tolley versus our old friend Eduardo Rodriguez. That'll be fun to see him again, especially if he pitches versus us the way he's been pitching this year. On Saturday, we have an 8:10 p.m. start. That will be Lucas Giolito versus Brandon Fought. I believe I saw it pronounced. And then on Sunday, a 4:10 p.m. start, which is Brian Bayo versus Ryne Nelson. How do you guys feel going into this trio of games?
I feel pretty confident. I think the pitching matchups work in your favor. Obviously, Arizona sold at the deadline. You know, Ketel Marte is still there doing damage, but they got rid of a lot of big pieces. I think you're not facing Zach Gallen this weekend, right? So that's a big win too. So you should take at least two of three from this Arizona team. Their offense, again, it's mostly just Marte. Corbin Carroll can do some damage every now and then, but he's been inconsistent. So, and you got the pitching matchups in your favor, even with Peyton Tolley. Like, I trust Peyton Tolley more than I trust Eduardo Rodriguez at this point in their careers. So you got to at least take two of three. I would love a sweep. I think a sweep is ideal because, again, this is a team you should beat up on. They punted. They gave up this season. You did, but, you know, we just went over how your deadline went. So, but I don't have a sweep off the table, but I'll say this. Two of three should be the minimum. You do anything less than that, that's an embarrassment.
Oh, anything less than two of three is hit the panic button at this point. Because I agree with you, the pitching matchups favor us pretty heavily, although I would not be shocked. It would be so Red Sox and so E-Rod for him to just come in and just absolutely dish. And, you know, Peyton Tolley might do well, but, like, I mean, let's face it, our offense isn't that good. You know, we were saying, like, their offense is all Marte. Well, our offense was all Roman Anthony, and now that's off the table. So Marte might be better than anything we have the way it's been going lately, although everyone playing to their potential, I would take Bregman over Marte. But I expect two out of three. Yeah, is it off the table, a sweep? No, I don't expect it. I don't expect them to sweep anyone, even when they had Roman Anthony. It's just that it's been that type of year. So I'm going to say two of three, but by God, if it's less than that, smash the panic button.
Yeah, I agree. I look at this and all the matchups favor us. Rodriguez and Fought are not good pitchers. They haven't been pitching well lately. They haven't been pitching well all season. Ryne Nelson is decent, but I have some faith in Bayo to maybe outduel him. A sweep is on the table. I'm going to assume we find a way to lose one of these games because Arizona is playing good baseball. That's really my only hangup with them, is they're coming off a series win against the Rangers and the Dodgers, surprisingly enough. And before that, they actually split a four-game series versus the Brewers. So, unfortunately, maybe we're catching the D-backs at the wrong time. But as far as the on-paper talent is concerned, I do think that we have a big advantage here. This really is a way for us to take the day off, go into this series, start the road trip right. Just win 2 out of 3, position yourself to go into Sacramento. I nearly said Oakland again, and hopefully get the ball rolling a little bit to make this final push towards the playoffs. But we'll see. Any closing thoughts, guys?
I'll just say this. Alex Bregman will break his home run drought this weekend. He's going to hit one in Arizona. I don't know against who. So if you're betting on DraftKings, don't ask me. I don't know. It could be against Eduardo. It could be the Saturday game, but it'll happen this weekend.
Yeah. Go Sox. That's my closing thought.
Yeah. I like that call. Maybe against Brandon Faught. You know, he's given up some hard contact this year. So fingers crossed. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Definitely a downer of a game, but some silver linings here and there. Hopefully we can weather this storm. I've been Nick, joined by Jason and Chris. We have been the Bastards of Boston. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's go Red Sox. Take care, everyone.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.